The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts.
Welcome to another podcast of Terror, a production of Galactic Netcasts. With me, as always, is Corey Big Daddy Spork Scott. Corey, how are you doing today?
I am doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm tired. I'm very tired. I had too much fun last night, but that's neither here nor there.
How dare you drink off the show?
Jesus, man. Yeah, it was rough. We had one of my wife's college roommates came to visit, and we haven't really gotten to hang out with her in a while, so we just sat around and drank. But, yeah.
That's how threesomes happen.
Exactly. joining us this week is Sean. It only stings when I pee Burns. Sean, how you doing?
Better now that we've started the antibiotics, so things are looking better.
I'm glad to hear. Some people may recognize his silky sweet voice from the Trivia Geek show that I thoroughly mollywopped Corey on a couple weeks back.
What is mollywopped? Is that that sounds racist.
No, that's when a man bludgeons another man with his erect penis.
Are we sure that's not racist? It sounds.
I don't think so. Still. You're white, I'm white, I just have a boner and I'm beating you with it.
Very presumptuous to assume that I'm white, but okay.
I see you once a week. You're white. You're as white as they come.
That is so provincial. All right, go ahead.
For more on this podcast, including show notes, contact info, subscription links, go to gncasts.com/POT. For other shows from the Galactic Nightcast, go to gncast.com. Before we really get into it, Sean, do you just want to plug what you do besides Trivia Geeks? I know you have a lot of things going on, including exploring the X-Files.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff going on. We've started a podcasting house called Wolf King Studios, and we do the aforementioned Trivia Geeks. We also do Exploring the X-Files, which is done in a partnership with Galactic Netcast, and we have started the pilots on I'd App That, which is an app review show, and Streaming Geeks, which is a Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon streaming show that focuses on things you may not have heard of, trying to uncover some of those hidden gems. So, you know, those are all the shows I'm working on, and we're working on getting the network up to a dozen shows by the end of this year. So we've got a lot of things happening pretty quickly over there.
Awesome.
Well, we would offer our services, except Matt is lazy.
I've often said I would be totally on board with a cooking podcast if anyone wants it, so just keep that in mind.
Yeah. Also, we should remind people that Sean, part of the reason Sean is on here, it's the follow-up to when we had Carrie on here weeks ago.
I don't know why you make me look like an asshole in front of all my internet friends.
By letting you talk.
No, like Corey did say, Carrie Sims, who was on the Shaun of the Dead episode, is also on Trivia Geeks. So Sean thought it would be funny to do Carrie.
Exactly.
So wrap your mind around
rephrasing. Sean thought it would be funny to do a show similarly to Carrie's name.
Yes, yeah, which I thought was really funny and just kind of went with it.
Before we get any further, we should mention that the Podcast of Terror is a rather spoiler-heavy show. So if you have not seen the movie, this week we'll be talking about Carrie. You should watch it first if you don't want to be spoiled. Also, we are prone to swearing.
Yeah, who are we supposed to say to get fucked? Is that Jeff? Was it Jeff?
Maybe.
Jeff Cutshaw was sad, so fuck you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Fuck you in the mouth.
By the way, if you came from our family-friendly episode last week with Ryan Murphy, this will be slightly different.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, speaking of, iTunes finally got their shit together, and it's marked clean.
Yay!
Yeah, so I was pretty pumped about that, because... Yeah, so...
Just one more thing to disappoint you.
No, I think with the success of that episode, probably heavily due to the fact that it was a Five Nights at Freddy's, I kind of want to start doing more family-friendly ones, like maybe once every 6 or 8 months. I'm not sure. You were supposed to laugh. That was a failed joke. yeah. We'll do some not-swear episodes to see if the topics... But, yeah. Fuck that.
I think you're completely discounting the power of Ryan Murphy. That may have been why their viewership was up.
Well, yeah, it was a combination of Ryan Murphy and the topic, and who knows? Maybe I just spend too much time not swearing. Fuck it. News this week. there's a game, a Kickstarter for a game called Visage. We shortly talked about it prior to recording. It's based, I don't know if it's heavily or entirely, on the PT game that was on PS4, the playable trailer. Sean, I don't... do you play horror games at all?
Horror games, no. My one son does, so I've watched as he's played some of them. The gaming that I do tends to be sports, or like I was just playing Diablo 3 before we started, things like that, you know, or on the computer it's WoW and things. So the horror games aren't really my forte, but I have seen quite a bit of them, and I'm looking at the website now and it looks like a beautiful game.
Yeah, Sean gets to sit up front this week because he's a good guy at sports. Simpsons reference for anyone keeping tally. Like I said, it was kind of based on PT, playable trailer, which was the Silent Hill trailer before Silent Hill got axed, where you just kind of like walked. It was just a house, and you had to. There was like a series of events and things that you had to uncover in a series to move on. And regular fashion, I was too scared to play it, so I like a buddy of mine Twitch streamed it through PlayStation, and I watched him, and we had like a PlayStation party while we did it, and it was terrifying. My favorite part was he was like in the middle of a really tense moment, and both my dogs started barking, and he just shit his pants. He didn't really shit his pants, but he started yelling at me. But yeah, the game looks phenomenal. I did back it. It's all in Canadian money too, so it's like you get it on sale. Because like, I did the $20, which is a console version of the game, but in America dollars, it's only $14.
That's true. Yeah. If you back anything above $50, they send you some maple syrup with it.
Do they really?
No.
You son of a bitch, I got really excited. I was like, where's the syrup?
It's going to be delivered by a moose.
Oh, Mountie on a moose. Everything Canada. Someone bring me some Canadian bacon, too. Mm. But yeah, that game's super funded already. It has 26 days to go, and it has... $60,000 Canadian dollars of the $35,000 Canadian dollars they wanted.
Yeah, it is quite gorgeous. It's also one of those games that my wife would make me buy and then also make me play because she can't handle playing these types of games, but she wants to see it happen.
Yeah.
And I haven't introduced her to Twitch yet because I don't know. I don't love it. But
I like the idea. I guess I glossed over the fact that it's a psychological horror is their big selling point. It's not a jump scare game, which is part of the reason that I backed it, because jump scares, yes, you startle me and it creates an adrenaline rush, but it's not... I want something to scare me. Like, yeah. Truly scare me. Don't just catch me off guard. So we'll see. I might be sleeping at Corey's for a while.
Ooh. Sexy time. That'll scare you.
Nah, not if I'm in the corner sucking my thumb because I'm scared.
That's where it starts.
Moving on, because Corey makes things uncomfortable. The Horror Icons Unite for an Expendables inspired style Death House. Corey, did you send me this?
I posted it in our Slack channel.
Oh,
yes.
Oh yeah, Slack doesn't even sponsor us and they get a shout out. Oh.
I don't think they need us.
No, they don't need us at all. Currently the cast includes Robert Englund, Danny Trejo, Michael Berryman, Kane Hodder, Dee Wallace, Bill Moseley, Barbara Crampton, Doug Bradley, Ken Foree, Camille Keaton, and Don Shanks. Gunnar Hansen passed away in November, so he's not able to be on here, but it...
That's likely excuse.
Yeah.
no, it's... So basically what this is a ton of horror icons coming together for a gathering of greatness in one big mega film, which is... Yeah, that's the sort of where Hollywood's been going, and it kind of makes sense whereas movies have been really having a test of how successful films can be in the theater these days. It has to be a mega blockbuster and it has to have a lot of stars. Mm-hmm. Or it's, I don't know, got to be Oprah approved maybe. This is one of those things where it's, well, we can take a chance on making a horror movie with some substance and see how it does. It Follows was a great movie. It was a great movie.
I enjoyed it.
I don't know that it really lit the box office afire, but... it did well enough compared to its budget, but here we're going to spring for the super budget for all these big stars and throw them into one thing on the screen, and hopefully that will get people to show up.
It definitely looks fun. You know, I mean, that's the thing about the Expendables movies. They're not, you know, great stories or anything, but they're popcorn movies. They're great to sit there and watch and just have a blast with. And this is going to be the same thing for people who like horror. It's just going to be watching, it's like watching the All-Star game or something.
Yeah, it was a similar concept to like when Freddy vs. Jason came out. You had two of the biggest slashers of all time on the screen together, bringing their stories together. It was such a... I think I went to the theater and saw it like three times, which is not something I really do. I don't go to the theater at all, let alone multiple times for a movie. So this should be really, really badass.
Especially, and I'll watch Robert Englund in anything. I don't know what it is about him. It's just... The way he is, the way he acts, I will just watch him in just about anything.
Yeah, I really liked... Strangeland, I think, was the first movie I saw him in that wasn't a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. And he just plays such a dirty, pervy old man so well.
Yeah. Well, and I remember him back from the original V series when he played an alien, so...
A super sweet, nice guy alien, and then he goes from that to playing Freddy Krueger. And gets sort of typecast into that strange, bizarre kind of dude over and over again. The problem is that Englund has played that part so many times, and a lot of these character actors are known for playing specific figures, and do we want to see a movie just because they're all together, or do we want to see them playing those characters specifically in a movie together? And it's the catch of, I mean, Robert Englund is Robert Englund, and he has his fan base, and he deserved a fan base at that, but our people are excited that Robert Englund is going to be in another movie, or are they more excited at the idea of Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger in a movie? And it depends on how they utilize these people together. I also appreciate this article because I had no idea that Michael Berryman was still alive, and I was just glad to see him.
Wow. Wow. I don't even know what
else
to say.
For some reason, I just thought he was dead. Which doesn't mean that he wouldn't show up in films.
That makes you a shitty person.
Well, yeah, I am a shitty person. But the ball's back in your court, Gunnar Hansen. So I expect that this is going to be one of those things I'm going to get pulled out of the chair and go to the theater to see.
Did you see or hear anything about a release?
Not yet.
Even a ballpark.
I think it's just the announcement. 2017 is when they're planning on releasing it, but it's still unspecified. I'm sure it'll be like, well, it's got to work its way around Star Wars and the superhero movies and more Star Wars and more superhero movies to find a place to land, hopefully in October.
I would even take September.
Well, yeah, but that's September because it should be October.
I think that's racist. September
is just October Eve at this point. It has nothing else going on. It has nothing going for it.
My birthday.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Dick. Fucking dick.
But you know, it gets to be any more that you start seeing Christmas stuff in October and Halloween stuff in September. So why not Halloween movies and scary movies in September?
Why even wait till September or October? Why not put it out in July?
Yeah, and that way it would be out on DVD by the time October rolls around.
Yeah, I mean, it would never stand up amongst summer blockbusters, but fuck it, why not?
Unless it did, unless this is the one where it actually does that.
I can hope, but I don't know, we'll see. Well, horror movies lately haven't really been that good, so who's really to say? I mean,
yeah, but you don't like anything, so...
That's not fucking true. I like a lot of things.
Start saying, get some emails that say otherwise. It's all right.
Oh my god, you're such a pussy. I saw two movies this weekend. I liked both, Dick. Three, if you count Gary.
The Dick that you just said that you liked?
This is out of control. You're supposed to be the one that keeps me on.
Speaking of out of control, you can help support the Galactic Netcast by going to patreon.com/galacticnetcast and supporting our Patreon. You can donate as little as $1 a month, and it will help us move our way towards better audio hosting, maybe some advertising. We're looking at a few different things. We did have a hiccup in the audio hosting department this week, but we're looking at either alternatives or finding out more information about what happened. Didn't really change anything for us right now, but it's something that, again, we're trying to be careful for the future to grow the network as best we can. For $3 a month, you'll get our newsletter once a month with extra stories related to all the different podcasts. Or $5 a month, you can get an extra episode of each of our podcasts. available exclusively to our patrons. And for $20 a month, you could actually help start your own show on Galactic Netcasts, which I keep pitching that, and it's not in the notes, and I just think that's the coolest thing, so someone should jump on that right now.
Cooking. This is how I get my cooking podcast.
Absolutely. Otherwise, built-in that's going to take it to another network.
Yeah, right? I'm going to start shopping my ideas to different networks. Dave, if you're listening, I'm shaking my fist at you.
Yes, the Galactic Spooncast. So on top of that, you can also support a couple of our sponsors. We have the fortune of being supported by people from Stratosphere Merch at stratospheremerch.com. You can use coupon code TERROR for 15% off your entire order there. Or you can also look into thehate.com, THEHVIII.com, for Matt Vincent's site, where you can use our code KICK15 for 15% off there as well. Some great things both sides. You should check them out.
Currently has a pre-order for a green shirt. I don't know if you saw it. I might buy it just because it says green beer is practically a vegetable. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're the vegetable when you've had the green beer, but that's fine.
Just your liver. Your liver turns into a vegetable. A pickle, to be exact. But now the reason we're here. We're going to talk about
pickles.
We're going to talk about Carrie with Sean after Carrie was here talking about Sean. Nope. Okay. You guys are really big dicks today.
I think we got the gist of that joke. We made it 4 other times.
I hate you so much right now, Corey. God, I can't even handle you. So yeah, Carrie, 1976, a Stephen King novel originally. Sean actually learned me a whole bunch of Stephen King trivia while we were waiting for Corey to show up.
Yeah, I used to live up in Lisbon, Maine, which is the town where Stephen King was born, and a couple of his books reference things like the one story, though, The Long Walk, basically is similar to The Hunger Games, where it's just a bunch of people competing for survival. And they have 100 people who start out in one place in Maine and just walk until, you know, individually they drop until there's one person left. And at one point he has them get off of the main turnpike in Lewiston and turn up the Lisbon road there and walk through Lisbon, and they would have walked directly in front of my house. So that was kind of interesting. And then in The Running Man, he has them going through a park in Portland. And that I used to drive through that park every day on my way to work. And I used to actually pass his childhood home in Lisbon Falls every day on my way to work. So everything up there is very Stephen King heavy.
Which is insane to me. I just have cheese.
Corey, that's why I'm Stephen King heavy.
Corey doesn't even have water. Yeah, I guess if you haven't seen the movie Carrie, where have you been?
It was directed by Brian De Palma and scripted by, Lawrence DeCohen, who did several different Stephen King movies he scripted, including The Tommyknockers and It for TV.
Oh, okay.
Tommyknockers was a TV one too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I know that all of these have been on TV, but it was hard to keep track of which ones originally were for TV.
Yeah, Tommyknockers was actually the first Stephen King book I ever read, and everyone has always told me that was really a mistake, and it probably took me about a good 15 years to get back to anything that Stephen King wrote, because Tommyknockers just confused the living hell out of me.
Every book or every story he does has like a weird alien twist to it, except this one, obviously. Yeah.
Well, we don't really know where our powers lead from, but the only Stephen King book that I read for multiple years was Eyes of the Dragon, which everyone tells me is so unlike anything else that Stephen King has done, although I do believe it references Flag. And then I tried to read The Gunslinger, and like Watchmen, I just dropped it around the last chapter and just never picked it up again. And finally, I watched, I read Stephen King's On Writing, which is a phenomenal book, which is semi-autobiographical and this is how you write stuff. But I just haven't been one of those big Stephen King readers. I read Barker, but King just hasn't grabbed me for some reason.
See, I don't like reading. I should go get some of these book on tapes, but my mom still loves Stephen King, so I remember being a kid, she had, like, there was a mantle with a bunch of books, and it had, like, It and The Stand and a couple other ones, all hardcovers. Those fuckers are huge, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a few friends who are big Stephen King fans who have all the books around their house, all the original hardcovers and things.
But I remember, like, seeing... Sorry, Corey. I cut you off.
No, that's all right. I was just going to say, it seems like something that I should like because, again, I'm into the mythology of things and the sort of tied-in nature of these different stories of his. The fact that there are books dedicated to how Stephen King's novels interact with each other, I find fascinating. I more or less want to pick up those books and see how everything connects than I want to read the books themselves. But yeah, I don't know why it never was something that I grabbed onto, but I could see getting back into it at some point. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. I loved all the movies, The Langoliers, Tommyknockers, The Stand, It, obviously. So it was kind of that nice mixture of horror and sci-fi because there's always an alien. But yeah, so Carrie is about a shy 17-year-old who... after a 3-minute softcore Showtime pornography scene in the shower to start the movie, she becomes a woman.
Yeah, I just want to say, I was not looking forward to watching this. My wife even said to me, she's like, you're going to watch Carrie? Yeah, all right. We've seen it so many times. It's not like I haven't seen the movie before. But the amount of, oh, do I really want to sit down and watch this yet? For a film that starts out with a 5-minute girl shower scene.
See, I forgot about that. It's been so long since I've seen this movie, I forgot about a lot of things that happened. So it worked out, but my wife and I watched it, and she just kept saying, oh, that girl has weird nipples.
Like, which girl? Because there were 70 nipples. There were 70s nipples the whole way.
There was 70s boobs, and you know, I think within the first 5 minutes, we had boobs, bush, and butt, so we had, you know, pretty much had everything covered.
Yeah, it was Carrie.
Or uncovered.
So Sissy Spissy Spacek. She has National Geographic nipples. But yeah, sorry.
And it wasn't just like the gratuitous boobs. It was the shot of the water and soap running down her thighs and stuff. I mean, it was like I was waiting for a little Barry White to start playing. No, it was uncomfortable, and I was the only one in the room watching it, and it was uncomfortable.
So. Wait, about chicka wow wow. Yeah,
did you have pants on while you were watching it alone?
Yeah, well, I don't know that I ever knew that this movie was by Brian De Palma before, and I can't say that having seen other films that this isn't Brian De Palma's MO, because shower scenes seem to be his reason for being, is what I'm saying. If you've ever seen, what was it, Dressed to Kill, with Angie Dickinson, also with Nancy Allen. Nancy Allen married De Palma shortly after this movie and then wound up in a bunch of his things after that. It seems like this was practice for later, doing that scene the way that he did.
Yeah, I didn't realize that guy did like all of the major gangster movies too, like Scarface, Wise
Scarface.
Guys. That's pretty impressive. He has an impressive resume. But yeah, so Carrie's dominated by her religious mother, and she unleashes her telekinetic powers after being humiliated by her classmates for the last time at prom. Carrie becomes a woman in the bathroom, in the girls' shower, and then everyone makes fun of her, and she freaks out.
Because she's never been told what a period is before. And she's 17, so she's developing late in life. And it kind of follows that at the same time that she does get her period is when she starts to notice her telekinetic abilities at that moment.
Which, let's be perfectly honest, like that whole shower scene, that the whole first 10 minutes of the movie probably could have not been there, and it wouldn't have changed the story one bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't seen the remake that was recently out, but I don't think they followed that idea.
Probably not, although that was that the concept of like her having her period in the shower was always like a big point to the movie.
No, I'm sure maybe they had the reasonings of what happened, but not necessarily the blatantry of it.
Yeah.
I think that scene was kind of important because if you were a comic book reader, which I know that you are not, the X-Men characters, their mutations develop when they hit puberty. And that is not dissimilar from what is shown in this. Now, I don't know if that stems from this, because I know Claremont, at the very least, stole a lot of stuff from movies and TV references. But since they actually predate this film and probably the book, I don't know that that's necessarily one following the other. But it is kind of like that change of life. There's sort of a trauma when your body starts to change internally that you don't necessarily see, but you feel, and your voice changes and all these other things happen. In this, the trauma is she suddenly, you know, gets her first period, and immediately things start happening where she can move things with her mind. She breaks the light when she's freaking out. She moves the ashtray a few minutes later when the principal keeps calling her Cassie, which is just an asshole move. The whole, like, five times. It's like, it's Carrie. No, I think I'm going to stick with Cassie, because I want to show you how little of a shit I give about this whole situation.
You put it so delicately.
Yeah.
You know, I love the timing, the things that are just so out of 1976. The gym teacher and the principal smoking in the principal's office.
Yep. Yeah. And,
holy crap! I was born in 75, so I guess I'm glad I missed that. But Jesus, they slapped each other around an awful lot back then.
Yeah, the slap of the gym teacher to Nancy Allen's character and calling her a little shit. And then Nancy Allen sitting in the car with John Travolta, which is basically like a really messed up version of the scene in Grease, except you're after the drive-in. But it was like, oh, you're a stupid shit. Don't call me that, slap. Yeah. Oh, you're a stupid shit. Don't call me that, slap. By the way, here's some oral sex to get you to throw pig's blood on some other girl that I don't like.
Let me point something out. If she did have John Travolta's penis in her mouth, there's no way she would be able to talk as clearly as she did.
Well, I don't think it would have done much, because it's John Travolta and she was a girl.
Oh, I see. I forgot John Travolta was in this movie. So it was really funny.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. That son of a bitch.
When I saw his name come up in the credits, I was really surprised. And William Catt, the greatest American hero, showing
greatest
up.
Greatest American hero was the basically the stud of the school in this.
Yeah, with that hair. Oh, my God.
That was a thick mane.
He kind of looked like a lion prancing around the school.
But speaking of him, so he asks Carrie to go to the prom, and she doesn't believe him, rightfully so.
Yeah, she was right.
But there's this, like, weird moment where you can't... Like, I remember it was right before they dumped the blood on her, and my wife and I were talking, and she goes, why is he doing this if you know, he knows what's going to happen? And I said, I don't think, like, they never come out and say one way or the other if he's just trying to be nice or if he's in on it.
No, he's definitely not in on it.
No, that's evident at the time of the shit hitting the fan.
Oh, right.
But, yeah. Like, leading up to it, we're like, you know, why would he do that? And I was like, I don't really know if he is doing it to be nice or not, but... it kind of sucked because, you know, they saw that this girl was being treated poorly and she was just misunderstood, I guess you could say.
Yeah, Sue Snell, played by Amy Irving, who was in the more horrific movie Yentl, she feels bad because she was part of the group that tormented Carrie at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And she's the only one who shows any remorse over it. And so she thinks to make up for it, she's going to get her boyfriend to take Carrie to the prom to help give her a normal situation to be in to maybe find acceptance in the other kids. And that it seems like that entire thing, it's pretty obvious from her side that she's doing it as a nicety, as a, you know, I feel really awful, I want to try to make this up to her, but not coming straight out and saying, oh, I'm going to stay up with my boyfriend to go to the prom. And so when William Catt is kind of, you know, kissing Carrie a little bit at the prom, it seems like, you know, that your girlfriend sent you here, and are you planning on going further with this tonight? Are you planning on calling Carrie tomorrow? What is the state of your relationship with Sue after this? So there's a few questions there that unfortunately never get answered, but...
Oh, it's because everyone dies.
Yeah.
I mean, rightfully so, these things don't get answered because everyone's dead.
pretty much everyone dies.
Yeah.
But he keeps saying, and he does defend Carrie in the class even before a lot of this other stuff starts, when she says that his poem that he didn't actually write, but she says that it's beautiful, and the teacher is kind of mocking her over her use of the word because that's not a criticism. He says, "You suck," under his breath to the teacher, and the teacher calls him on it, and he's like, "Oh, I just said, aw, shucks." But it seemed to matter to him that Carrie was at least defensive of his poem and kind of was nice to him, even for something that he didn't necessarily deserve.
Right.
And he keeps going back to that.
Yeah, he seemed like a good guy. I mean, he seemed like he had good intentions as far as that went. I agree with you, though, that the kissing thing was kind of like, when he started that, you're thinking, why are you doing this? You know, there's a lot of other repercussions that are, you know, involved in doing something like that. But, I mean, his overall motivation seemed to be decent anyway. I mean, I think he was doing it more for his girlfriend than he was out of a sense of, you know, I should do this for Carrie. But at least it wasn't, you know, let's get her to the prom so we can humiliate her.
Yeah.
And we're also discounting the fact that Carrie goes through a pretty dramatic transformation in getting ready for the prom. She starts to feel more confident.
Mm-hmm.
By standing up to her mother, developing the powers too, but just in general, being asked and going and trying on makeup and making her dress and everything, she feels still very nervous and shy. She keeps telling him, well, let's wait before we go inside, or let's not dance yet because I don't know how to dance. But she does kind of blossom, and I think it's noticeable, and I think he notices it. So maybe some of the stuff that he starts reacting to is more real than what we get to explore in this.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, he's also a dude. Maybe he just thought he could get some on the sly.
This is also true.
That was a rather in-depth discussion about something that didn't even cross my mind twice while watching the movie.
But you're just reminding the beginning, like, 10-minute shower scene. All right.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go back to the beginning, see how those ladies in that shower are doing. Soapy and clean.
Notice that one of the ladies in this that I, again, never knew when I was younger, Edie McClurg, who was Rose from Ferris Bueller. He's a righteous dude, secretary lady.
Uh-huh.
So weird to see her as a teenager in high school. Not necessarily a real teenager, but just part of that pack. That was weird to me. That one really threw me off.
Yeah, she seems like she'd be a lot older than being able to be a teenager in this one, but...
I mean, all the teenagers look like 20-year-olds, which is good because a lot of them were naked. But it was kind of weird.
I'm sure they were at least 18 then.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really hope.
Also, PJ Souls was in this. She played Norma, the evil friend who kept wearing a hat. And she went on a couple years later to be in Halloween.
Yes. I did think it was weird that even at prom, she had a hat on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she just dressed in her hat.
Yes, I caught that too. What senior girl in high school does that?
Yeah, right.
PJ Souls, man. PJ Souls is just a great actress character anyways and everything that you see her in.
Did you notice too, though, when they were doing the detention and they're all out there exercising, everybody is in yellow shirt, black shorts, and then they pan to her, and she's got the red hat and the red shorts. She's the only one wearing a different uniform out of the whole set doing the exercising. It was just the weirdest thing.
Marches to a different drummer, drummer is one of the Ramones.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I always go back to Rock and Roll High School when it comes to PJ Souls.
Wow. Leave it to Corey. So they dump the blood on her head, and then she burns the whole fucking place down. And then the weird John Travolta and his creepy girlfriend who screamed, "Do it, do it, do it," while he was hammering the pig in the head.
Not a euphemism.
No,
they go to a slaughterhouse, and they get some random pig, and one guy's like, "Yeah, I'm going to kill this pig." "Oh, I can't really kill this pig. You should kill the pig." "All right, let me do this." And he just walks in there. And Travolta impersonation ever.
It was shockingly dead on.
Yeah, it was.
I was a huge Grease fan growing up, so like I am. I have two of a kind on my DVR right now. But
God,
be that as may. So they killed the pig. to get the blood. It wasn't just enough to get pig's blood somehow. No, we got to go in the middle of the night and raid this slaughterhouse to get enough blood. I guess maybe just to keep people off their trail. You don't want to just be walking around with like pig's blood and receipt.
Yeah, I don't know why that made me laugh, but I was like, where are you going to go to buy pig's blood and receipts and...
You're butchers. Butchers have pigs.
No, I know, but I just like you guys in your conversation about where old Curly Head was gonna go with Kissing Carrie, and I'm like, well, why would he go buy pig's blood? And are they gonna check his credit cards to figure out who bought the pig's blood and where the pig's blood came from? Yeah.
You do not need to bring paper into this.
Yeah, we don't need a paper trail where the pig's blood came with. Let's just sneak into a slaughterhouse and murder our pig instead. You're fucking
disgrace. Wait, you mentioned too about the car that John Travolta and PJ Souls were in. The way they're trying Nancy to run Allen. Carrie. Oh, Nancy Allen. I'm sorry. Yes, and trying to run down Carrie, and she basically flips it over.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed or not, but there was all four tires were still in the car, but yet two tires rolled past Carrie as the car was flipping in the air.
Those are spares.
Those were the spares.
Which they also stole from a pig farm in the middle of the night.
I just love watching these older movies from like the 70s and just having these really weird things happen in them. And, you know, back then it's like nobody catches this stuff, or they caught it and just said, screw it, or don't know how to fix it, just leave it.
They didn't have enough money to take those two tires off after it was flipped over. So they just left it.
And it's funny because in a world where all the Stephen King movies kind of almost become a parody in and of themselves, seeing that this was pretty much the first one to be adapted, and I think this it was bought for $2,500 at the time, but it, later on, it definitely would have been that car that they were driving to come after Carrie would have been Christine. They would have worked that into the movie somehow.
Yeah, Sean and I figured that $2,500 in 1976 would be $13,000 and some change right now. So it, even by today's standards, that's not a lot of money.
Yeah. No, but it's a nice to see one of your early books made into a film anyways. Like, I don't know how much Andy Weir made for The Martian, but I'm sure it was just that initial excitement of someone's going to make a movie out of my story. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I would like to cash in.
Absolutely. Who doesn't want to cash in on something? Like, if I could write anything proper, I can barely talk most days. So if I wrote a book and someone was like, here's some money, not even a lot, I'm going to make it into a movie, it would be really hard for me to say no or be like, you know, let me figure out how much money I really want for this thing.
Yeah. Somebody offers me $12,000 right now to make a movie out of something I wrote, I'm taking it.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
You get the first one.
And he was 24, 25 when he put this out, so it's not like he was even, you know, an older writer who has been around for a while, and this was just the first thing that they grabbed onto. He was still really young.
Yeah,
hadn't been hit by a van walking down the street or anything. I mean, that was Brian King. No meteor shit getting on his hands.
Yeah, goddamn meteor shit.
Wow. I apparently don't know about the meteorite shit story.
Oh, creep show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fine. In a movie where, I mean, he's basically a character in his own film, and excellent. Out of all the stuff in Creepshow, that might be my favorite one, just because he's so creepy in general, but he's so great at it.
Yeah.
He wasn't in this one, was he? He's in all of his other TV shows and movies, but he was not in...
Because he wasn't a well-known name or featured face yet.
Which makes
a lot of people
sense.
Say how interesting it is that Sissy Spacek looks like she could be related to Stephen King in a little bit.
Yeah, I can see it now that you say it.
I gotta look at her. Sissy plays like such a... Oh yeah, I'll be damned. She plays like such a good... blank staring person. I don't know, she looks like she's a fucking crazy. Sorry, Sissy, I know you're not
looks,
listening to this, but
not necessarily simple, but she looks like she's not from a overly done up kind of background. I saw the first thing that I ever saw her in was Coal Miner's Daughter, which again, she was a young country girl, you know, who grows up kind of mousy and stuff, and then gets bigger and becomes, you know, what essentially was Loretta Lynn. She's a great actress. She's very well known now, but yeah, she tried to make herself look as plain as possible for a lot of these roles. She wound up, I think, going to the tryout for this with Vaseline in her hair and not washing her face to look as mousy as possible, and that's what got her the part.
It worked. She did a very good job. This movie holds up because it's fucking creepy.
Yeah.
I do want to say, though, that another thing that really weirds me out about this film is that one of my favorite movies of all time is the Scott Baio film Zapped from the early 80s.
God.
And Zapped is, in many ways, just a retelling of Carrie with a comedy bent.
Really?
The whole prom scene is completely redone in Zapped, except with people running around naked and not being killed, but more or less having their clothes ripped off.
Yeah. Huh. I've never seen Zapped. Never even heard of Zapped.
Yeah, a kid develops telekinesis from a chemical accident and goes around, and it turns into a, you know, 80s party movie.
Yeah. Fair enough. I might have to watch that one. 5 out of 5, if you ask me.
I can't give it a 5, man. It's too weird for me. It's very well done, but it's also a movie that it's like I don't need to watch Carrie again. I'll go with a 4, though, because it's a very solid movie, and especially for when it came out.
See, it's so good, I can give it a 5 because I don't need to see it again.
That's true. You don't need to talk me out of it. I've seen it.
Yeah.
5 out of 5. Suck on that.
I think the first time I saw this, actually the last time I saw this was probably 25 years ago. So I really didn't remember much of it. And visually, I don't think it holds up great, but the story certainly does. So I think I'm probably with Corey that I would say 4 out of 5. The only knock against it is visually, it's just dated.
Yeah, I can't disagree with what you said. I think some other movies from the 70s look a whole lot worse. They didn't really try and do a bunch of crazy shit that, you know, that looks more dated than just the fact that it's on dated technology. There's no bad computer or anything. You know, it was pretty cut and dry, and even the car flip scene and the 6 tires on the car, it's...
Yeah, and I mean, we didn't really talk about the glowing-eyed Jesus in the prayer
closet.
Oh,
fuck yeah, I forgot. Dude, that was a terrifying Jesus.
And the way that they replicated that in the death of the mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who sounded like she was enjoying being stabbed multiple times a little bit more than maybe was necessary. Again, maybe that is a De Palmaism. I keep going back. It's Dress to Kill. Such a weird movie. I know that's not a horror movie, but I just kind of want to watch it again now because it is weird.
Yeah. It's definitely in the same vein as Carrie.
Yeah.
All right.
That's your cue.
Well, then.
That's your cue.
It's my cue now? Yeah. I'm doing this?
Yeah.
I didn't realize. This didn't seem as white as the rest of the business. So you can contact us. During these long pauses, you can write up a whole 3-page email to us by leaving us a message at 805-328-3966. Or you can go to the website at gncast.com and leave us a message there. There is a little button on the side. Or you can email us at pot@gncast.com. That's POT@gncast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter or Instagram. We finally figured out that there's multiple ways to get into Instagram now. You don't have to just worry about freaking out your account. In both of those places, we are Podcast of Terror. And then you can subscribe to the podcasts via iTunes, Stitcher, when it gets back online. It's been a tough week for Stitcher. Or your other favorite podcatcher. And you can leave us a review at any of those sites. All subscription options can also be found under the subscribe tab at gncast.com/pot. And finally, you can join us on our Facebook page under Galactic Netcasts.
Sean, where can the nice people find you and all of the things that you currently have going on?
Probably the easiest place to get me is on Twitter at WolfKingPodcast. And I would say follow Exploring the X-Files at X-FilesCast. That's actually getting ready to wrap up what's going on with the new series that they're doing, the new 6-episode series. We're about to hit episode 5 tomorrow night. And then we're going to start going back and looking at the old ones. And that podcast is actually me and my 17-year-old son, who had never seen the X-Files before we started doing this. So we're kind of getting into this together, me being the old fan and him being the newbie. So we're having a lot of fun with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is a really good show, too. You guys do great together.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Corey, you love the internet.
I do. I love it like a man in a clown suit loves a balloon animal from a gentle backwards deep blowing. I don't know what you're talking about. Are you asking me where I am online?
Because yes.
You can find me at CaptainTemerity.com on the Twitter. I'm just at Captain Temerity. And mostly, I'm just here. I'm just here.
We're just here. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Matt the Lifeguard. That's really about it. Dog and cat pictures. Thank you, Sean. It was really cool having you on. I look forward to doing this again and coming back on Trivia Geeks in a couple, 2 months.
Yeah, we got you already rescheduled and ready to rock and roll.
I got sick of waiting for Corey, so I just scheduled myself. thank you again, Sean. Thanks for listening to the podcast. It's here, and we will catch you guys next time.
Stay scary, everybody.
Next time on the Podcast of Terror.
Next week we're joined by what does she do? Podcaster? Amy Frost?
Amy Frost.
Cosplayer.
She's part of the Overwatch podcast with JF DeBow.
Jack of all trades. She does a lot of things. Mostly never has internet.
Dinora cosplay.
She never has the internet because of Comcast. But we will be joined by Amy to discuss Pan's Labyrinth and all of its French goodness.
Should have a nice smell.
You've been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about this show and others, go to gncasts.com. That's GNCASTS.com.